Welcome to the Vietnam is Awesome podcast with me, your host, Neil McKay. I've been living in Vietnam now for nearly 8 years. I came here with my wife for just a short trip and, like many people, absolutely fell in love with the place and decided to stay. I ended up creating a podcast called A Vietnam Podcast, and I'm now the host of Vietnam is Awesome. My guest today is from France originally, and he has been in Vietnam now for nearly 10 years. But he did get to see the beauty of Vietnam, which led him to doing photography. He is also an ambassador for Vietnam is Awesome, and you can check out his work on our website. And so we're going to be talking today to Adrian about photography in Vietnam. Welcome to the Vietnam is Awesome podcast.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, I'm really excited to share about my journey in Vietnam with you today.
Congratulations on 10 years. Did you come to Vietnam expecting to be here for 10 years?
Not at all. I came for the first time in 2014 and I was working in a complete different industry in Paris, but I wanted to experience something else. I had a friend doing an internship for this new company in Sega, and he told me, you should speak to the owner, like maybe something, yeah, they need people to start the company. I met this guy in Paris and a few months later, I was here in Saigon. Now it's 10 years anniversary.
I know that there are many people that come to Vietnam specifically just to take pictures. And as somebody who's not a photographer, I was surprised to learn that. But then as I explored Vietnam and saw more of it, and you see the beauty of Vietnam, I understand why people would come here to take pictures. But explain, why is that? Why is Vietnam such an amazing place to come and take pictures that people will come here for that purpose only?
There's never a dull moment in Vietnam. You know it, right? And I think it's, speaking specifically of Saigon first, maybe, I think it's just a city in mutation. Things are going so fast, things are changing. And it's really interesting to document this contrast, the new versus the old, the traditional versus the more modern, or a chaotic, noisy, busy market versus a quiet, meditative pagoda. I think it's really exciting for that. And I think, for me, personally, I like people photography, you know. I like to get close to people, to know more about their life, their traditions, their lifestyle, their traditions and culture. And photography has been an excuse to get close to them and to interact with them.
What is the reaction of Vietnamese people when you stick a camera in their face?
That's one of the biggest questions, obviously. People are not that confident in approaching people, and it makes sense. You have to do it in a very respectful manner, and nowadays, I organize photography tour, right? And I tend to go to places first where there are not so many tourists, you know, where you feel more welcome, where you feel there is a genuine curiosity on both sides. And I always start with my intention. If I have a good intention, I just want to know more about these people. I'm curious about their lifestyle. I have the body language that also reflects this intention. And people react to that in a good way. And I share some nice moments and I get to know more about their lifestyle and they get to know more about mine. And it's just this genuine exchange where we both learn. That's how I approach the streets and people, yeah.
The reason I ask that question is because my mind goes to where I'm from, Glasgow, Scotland. And I can imagine if somebody walked up to somebody with a camera in Glasgow and just started taking pictures, they'd probably get beaten up pretty quickly. I don't know if it would be the same in France.
Nowadays, street photography is really popular all around the world. You just have to do it in the right approach. I will tell you a quick story of my first time when I came back to Paris as a photographer, and I was not confident. I mean, I was getting confident to approach people in Vietnam because it's easier. But in Paris, I was a bit hiding. I was not that confident. And I saw a guy, he was quite far from me, and I was shooting against the sun because he had a nice silhouette and everything. Maybe 50 meters from me. But he saw me and he started walking towards me. And he had a bottle of beer. I think it was early morning. He probably was at the end of his night where I was at the beginning of my day. And I was feeling it was not a nice confrontation and I didn't really know how to justify myself. But then I came back to France during COVID for 9 months and I was a confident photographer and I can feel the vibes changing. You look like you know what you're doing, even if it's not always the case, but people react to that and they're like, they're curious, but it's not in an aggressive way. You know, they will be like, what you're photographing? And I'm just like, yeah, I'm documenting the streets. I love how the light falls on you. All this kind of stuff, and you can diffuse any confrontation a lot more easily, you know.
And is that something that the people on your tours are nervous about when you first take them out?
Definitely, it's one of the biggest questions. And we approach, when we start the tour, we discuss photography things, obviously, but we discuss that a lot. And yeah, I tell them about how to be confident. I try to help them develop their confidence in approaching people in a respectful way, obviously. And I'll tell them they won't always get okay or go, but it's okay. You just have to be respectful and to move on, and to also give something back, try to give something back. I'm always bringing, I'm printing the pictures of people I meet, because I go back to the same places in Saigon. So they're not moving, they're not going anywhere. And I bring it back, a small picture that they can keep in their room, show to their friends. And so I establish this relationship. I think also the more you come back to a place, the easier it is to feel comfortable and not to be seen as a stranger from local people, you know.
That's really beautiful. I can imagine if you come back and you're like, from my knowledge of learning about photography in Vietnam, because we have some mutual friends that are photographers. And I think the thing that comes to most people's minds right away is probably rice paddies. And I love as well that word verdant, which I think is probably a French word, right? Verdant. V-E-R-D-A-N-T. Don't know that one. Maybe it's not a French word, but I always love that word because it basically means bright green, like verdant rice paddies. And I think it's the only time you can use that word verdant is to describe green. So I love it for that reason. But everyone thinks you're going to come get rice paddies, maybe some fishermen, you're going to get natural beauty. And the thing I love about Vietnam is that's the stereotypical version of Vietnam. And it is for maybe 90% of the country, that's what it looks like. But for 90% of the people that live here, they live in the cities, in the towns. You're not living in a rice paddy. You don't live. I think sometimes I live in Vietnam. It's so beautiful. And I'm like, if I live in a high rise building in a big city, there's a highway down the road. There's not verdant rice paddies. And so is that a big misconception? Or people come to Vietnam to think that they're going to be filming verdant rice paddies. But you're doing something completely different.
Yeah, and you have this, I guess, the rise of Instagram and create some wrong expectations for people sometimes coming to Vietnam, photographing the country. You have this part of the cliche is actually true. You can capture beautiful paddy, verdant paddy fields.
Sounds much better when you say it. I'm sure it's a French word.
Yeah, we've seen, for example, the incense village in the north near Hanoi have been changing a lot. Because people see it as a side business, they actually stage the scene to photographers. And I'm not in this kind of photography. I understand some people. For me, it's even more about the process, the authentic exchange than the final result. So I prefer to have a candid, an authentic interaction with someone than maybe paying someone to just pose with the hat and just everything put together. And that's why sometimes people have... Unfortunately, on Instagram, they see this picture and they think it's candid. But when you have some experience, you know, when it's too perfect, it cannot be this way. And for me, it's more, I like to capture the chaos, the grittiness, this side of Saigon and the street photography of the big cities where something is happening all the time. We mentioned the contrast and it's just changing so fast and it's so interesting to capture.
And I have heard this from our mutual friends, I think it was, about these staged photographs and you can go and it's just they've paid the people and they're ready, they're waiting. And for a lot of photographers, that's just a massive no-no. But at the same time, for the tourists, for the customer, that's what they want because they don't want to go on a three-hour walk and maybe find something. They just want to show up, see what they came to see, take the picture and leave.
Again, it's the difference between process and final result, and for me, I'm more about the experience as well. Of course, I'm more happy if I go back home with amazing images, but what's important at the end is also to have had this exchange with locals. I think it matters even more.
And it reminds me of an Anthony Bourdain shot that I saw. I think it was a behind the scenes one, because I don't think it was on his show, where the producer had set up a fish had been caught or something like that. And it had already been caught. And then they were going to film it they'd caught it live. And Anthony Bourdain was just furious about it. He was like, I'm not doing this. We are not staging this shot. And I can't remember if they actually ended up doing it because he had to give in or whatnot. But I do remember that was an example of...
A big question, to be honest. That's one of the biggest questions in the travel photography world. As I'm more into street photography, we don't stage things in a big city like Saigon. We have enough things happening all the time. It's not necessary. And one thing I really love about street photography is also you capturing a fragment of a time that will be soon gone. When we look at pictures from Saigon 30 years ago, we are like, oh, that must have been amazing to be in Saigon at this time. And I really feel it's going to be the same feeling when we look at pictures taken now, for example, the two-team area. So there is this new bridge that was built on the Saigon River, now connecting District 1 and this area. And I used to take a lot of pictures of people, families going on the weekend, flying their kites, no man's land feel, really wild. And I'm really happy I have these pictures because now you have some high buildings, they want to do a very modern thing, like modern area there. And you're capturing a fragment of time. And it's really important.
I absolutely 100% agree. So I used to live in District 4 in one of the first high rises there. It was called Kopak. And we had a view of downtown Saigon. And every now and again, I'll come across a picture I took from 8 years ago. There's no Landmark 81. There's nothing around Landmark 81. It's all high rises now. There's nothing there. There's no 2TM bridge. There's nothing in 2TM. It's still a swamp. If anyone has been here for long enough, they'll remember the Heineken billboards that were on the other side of the river. The Heineken billboards are still there. And then even recently, I came across a picture. My friends got married at the Lotte World Hotel on Tonduk Tang Street. And I have a picture from the window from the hotel, and the 2TM bridge is still not joined together. And I love finding these pictures exactly like you say. They're like a snapshot in time. So it is really important. And I'm just thinking about a staged picture in Saigon. I could just imagine you stopping traffic on Hai Bat Trong Street. Right, quick, everyone, cross the road. Let's go. We're getting the picture. Like, I don't think it would happen.
That will get intense, yeah.
I think actually probably in Saigon you could get away with that, maybe. I don't know. So what made you decide then to do Saigon street photography instead of doing the verdant rice paddies?
I just feel like it's more exciting. Rice paddies, like it's a bit like landscape photography versus street photography and people photography. You can find some amazing market in the north of Vietnam, place where you can photograph people actually. But in Saigon, it's just so much happening every day. And you can just have this photograph, but also this experience. When you photograph a landscape, you don't have many ways to photograph a landscape, right? When you photograph people doing a lot of things in the street, there are many angles, there are many ways to compose your images, and that just makes it a lot more exciting. And again, this part of the heritage, the culture, I think you can get it in a big city that's moving fast. So yeah, I think that makes it really exciting in Saigon. And I just want to understand the lifestyle. That's about it. And documenting it over years and years, yeah.
So that's why you chose street photography. Why do the customers, the clients, the tourists, whatever we want to call them, why do they choose to go with you and do street photography? And maybe they'll do both, but why do they choose to do the Saigon street photography?
That many options in Saigon for tours? No, seriously. I think they're looking for a way to experience Saigon off the beaten tracks. And yeah, to have this exchange, like authentic exchange with people, which I facilitate during the tours. So yeah, I think that they're really looking for an authentic experience of Saigon, yeah.
And do you have influencers and bloggers come on your tours with the video camera and just disrupt everything? Or is it always pure photographers?
I have a mix of people. There is this French blogger based in Hanoi, Brice, that we're in touch, and I have to invite him on a tour when he comes back to Saigon. But I haven't had proper influencers or bloggers. Maybe unfortunately, who knows, it could bring me some attention. But I have really a mixed range of people from complete beginners who are looking into a way of understanding their cameras, how to set their cameras and compose their images, to more advanced professional photographers who want someone who knows where to find the good spot and what they're looking for in terms of photography spot and time of the day and all these things. So it's very diverse.
So what should somebody expect when they join your tour from the start of the day to the end, and what different tools do you offer?
Let's go quiz the details of standard tours, for example. Usually you have to expect to wake up really early in the morning, early bird. So I will send a form to people once they book through my website or another platform to assess their level and interest so I can adjust my tour to their expectations as well. And it helps me to understand the client profile and expectations. Then we meet I pick them up at their hotel, 6 a.m. in the morning or 2 p.m. in the afternoon. And we go for a coffee where we discuss photography. I try to not to spend too much time on the technical side of photography, because what matters to me is how to see, how to compose your images. So I'm just trying to quickly translate it in easy words, like how they can set their cameras and focus on what's happening and how to compose their images. So we discuss of what makes a great picture, what makes a great photograph, what elements you need, in a photograph to make it like catchy. And then we discuss how to tell story with your images. That's also important to go from a single image to a cohesive story, if it makes sense. And yeah, obviously we discuss how to approach people, as we discussed earlier, in a respectful way. And then we hit the streets. And so I share my vision of photography. I share them how I will work a scene, how I will compose my scene. But I also want to help them unlock their own vision, what interests them, and to tell their own story of Saigon, basically. And so, yeah, we go through different places, markets, everything. And we finish with a refresher. We review the images.
I love the concept of what you do. I'm not a photographer at all, but I do love Saigon. I've been here for 8 years. And the word that I always use to describe Saigon, and I think you touched on it earlier, is juxtaposition. I just love the juxtaposition of Saigon. And there's nothing more relevant than when you go near the Bitexco Tower, and I forget the name of the market, really old, grimy market street with Chinese characters on the buildings. But then across the street, you've got Anan, that's one of the top 50 restaurants in Asia. Then behind it, you've got the Bitexco Tower. And if you go at sunset, it's beautiful, obviously, the colors glow. But you have a building that just looks like it's almost falling apart, put the Bitexco Tower behind it. And that's just one really obvious example. But anytime I'm walking around Saigon, I'll just be like, juxtaposition.
That's an obvious angle, but one you can start with. You know, I always tell them, like, the traditional versus the modern, old versus new. And I'm trying to, so I go to different locations. One of the tours I have is actually, I call it travel through history and time. I'm trying to go to some really old part of Saigon, usually District 4 areas where you have some little alleyways, like old markets, really old vibes. And then we end the tour on the river where you have the skyline and you have the new landmark 81 with Central Park, everything for sunset. And so you really have this juxtaposition, this contrast of two worlds working, living together.
I recently took a guy who's a YouTuber, influencer, if you want to call him, but a guy, the Traveling Clat, for his YouTube channel. I took him all around Saigon. And I probably followed a similar path to you did. So we were on the bike, but we went to District 4 first, had some coffee, some banh mi. Then we went to that market street I was telling you about, drove down there. And we actually finished at Landmark 81. And we were on the river there looking over the river. And he was just amazed because he was looking over the river. There's someone sailing down the river with coconuts. And you can see the old houses from there. But then at the same time, you look behind you and you've got Landmark 81. And he's like, this is just incredible. And I'm like, yeah, this is Saigon. It's amazing.
And it's nice to document, right? I think nowadays, most people, they have a good phone in their pocket and that can take high quality images. So obviously, I like when photographers have their own cameras because you have a little bit more control. But I think everyone can take nice pictures nowadays, and it's a good feeling. You create memories during your journey in Saigon, and maybe you could print it out and put it on your wall when you go back home and look at this, yeah, like this great memory you had there.
I was going to ask, have you had somebody come on your tour with just an iPhone?
More and more, because I used to be more like people will find me only through my website, or more like niche, a bit of street photography, but nowadays I'm on more mainstream platforms. And so people will be more beginners with their phone, a lot of iPhone 15 Pro Max recently. But it's honestly, they get good results because you can, again, it's how to see, how to compose your image. So it's phone is great these days.
Yeah. I'm really keen to come on your tour now, but I only have an iPhone.
It's fine. We'll do something nice, don't worry. Awesome. I'm just afraid I cannot show you some parts of Saigon you don't know yet. You've been here for a long time. But
there'll be lots. Tell us a typical day. Where do you go? Because there are plenty of places that I've still not been to in Saigon.
So I think when people don't know Saigon, what I do is I bring them to Cholon, which means big market in Vietnamese, and it's a Chinatown, basically.
I did not know that meant big market. I knew Chaw meant market, but I didn't know Chaw. Of course, lawn, yeah. It's when you go and order food and things like that, lawn means big. Of course. Okay, see, I learned things all.
We're starting. And yeah, because it offers just a lot of photography opportunities, from the busy markets to the temples where you have, or pagodas where you have a nice light going through the ceiling and the incense smoke. It's really atmospheric. You have these small alleyways and you really have these authentic vibes and sometimes the more modern building, as you mentioned before. So it's a mix of cultures, of all of that. And so I do tours in the morning, in the afternoon there. It's a good location for photography. We go as well to a place called Tanda. It's a small kind of island on the other side of the expat district. And that encapsulates all that defines Saigon. A vibrant market with historic buildings around, a park where people will work out really early in the morning, coffee shop by the river with the landmark 81 in the background. Really exciting place as well for street photography. Around the train station as well, you follow the tracks, and there are some really exciting places to photograph. District 8 is a bit more, even less known, I will say.
I don't think I've ever been there.
But really exciting. So I would say I have, yeah, 4 or 5 locations like that where I bring clients, photographers, depending also on what they're looking for, yeah.
And are people surprised by what they find, or have they already looked at it on Instagram and they're expecting that?
Most people are surprised because, again, like you mentioned, the Verdun, the paddy fields and everything, that's what they're exposed to on Instagram and everything, a bit less of streets of Saigon. And I'm always trying to bring them again to places where tourists don't go, because the interaction with people is so much nicer. People are generally happy to exchange and everything. When you go to, if you go to Bentan Market, or a very popular touristic place, people will just be fed up. And so I think they're always surprised because well, Vietnamese are just so nice. And it's also because they don't see too many tourists.
I had this discussion just yesterday with somebody, and I think I've said it before on this podcast. It's such a cliche, and I hate to say it because I feel like it's such a condescending Western thing to say, like, oh, the people are so friendly, the people are so nice. But it is actually true for Vietnam, because I've been to some Southeast Asian countries that I won't name, where they weren't so friendly and they're not so accommodating, and maybe they've been over-touristed and they're sick of tourists. But Vietnamese people in general, day-to-day life, are just the friendliest, most welcoming, down-to-earth people you can meet. Even if you don't speak a word of Vietnamese, you'll get a smile and they'll try and help you. And
yeah. I agree. It helps a lot for street photography and people photography. Yeah. It's an amazing place. But again, some people tell me, of course, they go to really touristic places and they don't get the same kind of smile. And yeah, it's good to get away a bit of the tourist pass for that.
And that, the video I was telling you about, I did with the traveling clat. So he let me take the audio and I put it on my other podcast, the Vietnam podcast. So if you want to go listen to that, check that out. It's actually the most listened to episode I've ever made, and took the audio from his video. And exactly like you said, so we went to District 4. I was really excited because I used to live in District 4 and I know it's gritty and it's dingy and it's dirty and it's different to District 1 and District 2 especially. And we sat down and had some coffee. And of course, yeah, the guys just all start talking to us. And my friend, he can speak a bit of Vietnamese, so he was able to translate to us. And then we had a woman go by who, on all intents and purposes, she had mental health challenges. I guess she was a bit talking all over the place, but super friendly, harmless. And then the guys were explaining to my friend, oh yeah, that's the quote unquote local crazy lady. And I later saw another video, if anyone's heard of Spanion, who's a guy that is from Sydney in Australia. And he was in District 4 doing the food, and the same woman was in the background in his video, and he was like, who is this woman? And I was like, ah, she's famous. Like, she must just appear on everyone's videos and things like that. But we went there, had a great time. No tourists around. People want to talk to you. Yeah, it's a great experience.
Yeah, it's about taking nice pictures, but it's also about this exchange that you will remember a long time after you go back home.
So you've been doing the Saigon street tours now for a while. Do you have plans for anything else?
Yeah, I'm always looking for new itineraries through the city, but I'm also developing a tour in Mekong Delta, because there is a region called Chau Dop near the Cambodian border where it's really exciting to photograph. And I'm also working on some tours mixing street photography and traditional festivals. So for people who are interested in this kind of photojournalism, documentary of traditions basically. And you have a lot in Mekong Delta, or in fishing villages. And I think mixing these both will be quite an experience.
And not to cause a mass panic and a sense of urgency with people listening to this, but do you think those kind of festivals, those floating markets, are they disappearing? Are we going to see the end of them within the next 5 to 10, 15 years?
I think it's case to case, but definitely these floating markets don't serve the same purpose that they used to. You have bridges, you have connections made easier. I think some of them are mostly for tourists now. You can still find some of them, but I'm not really confident in still having them in 5 years.
Or if they will be, they will just be staged.
Exactly. And regarding festivals, I think traditions will survive, and it's a really nice way to have a glimpse at what is Vietnamese culture. Maybe just come to Vietnam and experience it through photography. You know, it will make long-lasting memories. If you happen to be in Hoi An, during your trip, I have also a really good friend, Etienne, who is organizing photography tours in and around Hoi An and also in North Vietnam. And I actually did my first photography tour ever with him, and he planted the seed for me to do this kind of stuff. Go check him out if you're in Hoi An. He's also an ambassador for Vietnamese Awesomes. Yeah.
And it's a small world in Saigon, so you've been in touch just recently with my brother-in-law, who's a photographer. And so I've met Etienne before through my brother-in-law, and I remember talking to him, and I met recently another photographer up there, Quinn Mattingly, and he was talking similar thing about the amazing reaction from people. You can walk up to them in the middle of the verdant rice paddy and, you know, just have a smile and a chat. And I remember he was telling me as well, people will invite you into their homes. You can go in and they'll give you food and drink and sit with you and talk with you. And it's just, again, another cliche, but it's not a cliche that Vietnamese people are just amazing.
They're the best, yeah.
Awesome. How can that person listening right now that I'm getting on the next plane to Vietnam, I'm taking some pictures, how can they get in touch with you and how can they book your tour?
I have my website, Adrien Jean Photography. So if they put in Google Saigon Photography Tours or Ho Chi Minh Photo Tours, they will find me pretty quickly. I hope so. And yes, through the VAA platform as well. Vietnamese Awesome through the platform. Yes, they can contact me on Instagram as well or through the website.
Perfect. And we'll make sure we put those links in the show notes as well. Adrien, thank you so much, Adrien. Make sure you go and check out the show notes for all the links that you need. Go to the Vietnam is Awesome website. You'll be able to find more about Adrien and his photo tools as well. And if you do want to book a tour in Vietnam, then get in touch. Go to the vietnamisawesome.com website. My name is Neil McKay. I've been your host. And make sure you go follow us on social media, Instagram, all that good stuff as well. And get in touch with us as well. I recently had somebody email me asking for tips after listening to one of our episodes. So you can get in touch with me as well. You can go to my website, 7millionbikes.com. And if you're confused by the Scottish accent, that was bikes, B-I-K-E-S, not bakes, B-A-K-E-S, which when we transcribe this episode, it always comes up 7 million bakes, but it's bikes. Adrien, thank you very much. Thank you for listening. Cheers.
Thank you for having me.